Hey guys, welcome back to Even More News. My name's Katie Stoll.
Oh, my name is Cody Johnston.
And we would like to wish you and yours a very happy National Chocolate Pudding Day.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's a good snack.
Oh, I've been waiting all year for Chocolate Pudding Day.
I know. It's a really special occasion for us always here at Even More News, More News. We love our chocolate pudding.
We do.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to put chocolate pudding on top of vanilla ice cream. Is that gross?
I don't think so.
As I'm saying it out loud, it sounds gross. And I don't do it that often, but I love my dessert snacks.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's gross. I mean, I don't think most things that are sugary treats combined with other sugary treats are gross.
It's not like I'm putting potato chips on top, although that might be good.
Sure. But yeah, it's not like ketchup and vanilla ice cream. It's just a delicious treat and another delicious treat.
Yeah. I wonder what, if any of you guys have done ketchup and vanilla ice cream, let us know. I'm intrigued.
I do not want to hear about it.
To know,
do not let us know
how gross that is. Thank goodness there is news. It is not a newsless week. And
not like the previous week or the week before. Yeah. Not like all year. Every week so far has been newsless.
Things have been boring, but now we can really sink our teeth into something. I want to start with a new segment that I'm calling SCOTUS, more like gross US.
Is that what you're calling it?
Are we going to keep that?
I think we're keeping it. I would suggest maybe don't say the letters US at the end. I feel like that sort of undercuts your attempt to
I meant
to
like
rhyme.
Gross United States.
Yeah.
But like SCOTUS more like gross doesn't have the same cachet.
SCOTUS more like grossus. I'm not even saying that's great, but when you're presenting it like SCOTUS, more like gross US, that
doesn't work.
It really
okay. I've been going back and forth on this all day. I thought I landed on the right choice, so
I didn't mean to make you question your.
We're gonna keep workshopping it. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been great.
Thank you. See you next time.
No, let's talk about SCOTUS grossus. It's been a busy SCOTUS the grossest.
SCOTUS. Yeah.
It's been a busy week for the Supreme Court, and it's only Tuesday time of this recording. Several very big decisions have been made over the last few days. All of them have passed along a 5-4 ideological line. So thank you, Mitch McConnell, for everything you do.
Yeah, thank you, Mitch McConnell, for denying President's choice to even have a hearing for his suggestion for new Supreme Court justice.
A stand-up pillar of civility, if you will.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
That's the kind of civility you want.
It's the kind of civility you want. Let's go through some of these Supreme Court decisions, shall we?
What a piece of shit.
First, we have the one on gerrymandering. Their decision came yesterday, Monday, through two really big profile gerrymandering cases in Texas and North Carolina. And they basically ruled that most of the controversial maps in both of those states will likely be used in this fall's midterm elections.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's exciting update.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing we've talked about this a little bit last week. I feel like it's bizarre to me that Democrats haven't made voting the number one issue. Like, the number one issue.
I mean, at the beginning, I heard a lot of people talking about how it would be.
Yeah.
And I don't see evidence of that. Maybe it's quiet stuff that we're not seeing reported on. Yeah. I doubt it.
And it's so obvious. Like, it's another one of those, like, home runs, you know? Like, if you just literally just, like, lay out, here's what the
I don't know if it's the sexiest.
I mean, but like people, I don't know, people care about stuff like that if they're explained why they should and why it matters. I don't know if you need like sexy issues. You just need true issues. You need real ones.
I did not say that in sincerity completely. But yeah, no, I know. I just mean like, I don't know, maybe for other states where it doesn't seem to, it's not as big of an issue. People don't pay attention as closely to
that. I feel like it's an issue pretty much everywhere. Like all you need to do is just be like, here's the map of what the district is, and here's how it's represented among Democrats and conservatives, and then here's what the map has changed to, and here's how that affects the results.
You're right.
Like a really simple thing.
I don't know why they're not pushing that more.
And why, like, even when during the 2016 election, like make this kind of, like this should have been one of the main issues.
Yeah.
Like mention that we have a Supreme Court justice on the line, which makes all of the things that we're seeing now have made those that possible. I don't recall ever hearing about this really at all during the election.
No. And I mean, maybe in passing, but
like it was like even knowing, it's been months and they haven't even agreed to a hearing. So we know that whoever wins is going to get this seat, and it's an important seat because it's the fucking Supreme Court. So I don't want to rag on or like relitigate that awful year again and again, which we'll be doing for the rest of our lives. But it is,
and
it
our
is
children's
like,
lives.
It's just a slam dunk, and it's still a slam dunk. They can still get on it and talk about it because it's going to be an issue forever.
Hear that, Democrats listening to this?
Thank you, senators, all of you senators
running
for
re-election,
your patronage.
The other big decision.
Oh, sorry, real quick. And this is like, I've seen a lot of people about the civility issue, which we'll get to. Yeah. But like being like, well, like name, like what, like when has civility ever been used to like oppress people or like anything like that? And I've seen that a lot of like these sort of like free thinking, like really right wing, like YouTuber people. And it's like, well, here's an example. Gerrymandering is a civil way to oppress people.
Sure.
And it's just one example. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
It's a good example, though. But we'll circle back on this later. Mm. Yeah, the other biggie came about earlier today, Tuesday, and this one was about abortion, basically. The Supreme Court ruled that California may not require crisis pregnancy centers to supply women with information about abortion. Basically, in 2015, California passed a law that required family planning clinics to post notices that the state will provide free or low-cost family planning services, including access to contraception and abortion for low-income people. It also stated that unlicensed clinics were required to disclose that they were unlicensed, which seems like a gimme to me.
Oh, those damn regulations.
Yeah, those silly regulations get in the way of people knowing if their doctor's a real doctor. But this ruling came about because an advocacy group called I believe it's National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, they sued the state of California and said that forcing them to provide information about abortion services is against their First Amendment rights, that it's a free speech issue, but it's not a free speech issue. It's a women's reproductive rights issue.
It seems to be a protecting consumers issue. I mean, consumer's not the right word, but like...
patients. I honestly, it baffles me that this can fall under a free speech issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think free speech is under attack. We have to protect it at all costs. We have to frame certain things as free speech issues because that's the thing. That is actually an issue I think everybody can get behind. Everybody believes in free speech.
Yeah,
so
everyone can get behind
something
that
as a free speech issue, then
you can't argue with us.
Can't argue with it. Even when fascists have their rallies and Unite the Right type of rallies or anything like that, they always present it like, no, it's a free speech rally. It was about free speech.
Free speech and civility.
So if you resist it or you protest it, then you're against free speech, when in reality you're against the racist Nazis.
Also, it isn't about a free speech. It's about withholding information.
Right.
It's about literally not speaking.
Right. It's about being transparent and giving someone all the information they require in order to make an informed decision.
So I guess companies don't have to disclose stuff to people, all information.
Yeah, well, like you want, I mean, I don't know.
Obviously,
like,
that's different. But.
Like, you know, big government, you know, like when the government gets involved, like let's say someone has, for a moral issue, like they want to prevent somebody from knowing something, or like let's say that they want to make money in a certain way, and so they're going to like take advantage of people or cut corners or something, or do something that might actually have negative effects, but it still benefits them. I just think it's disgusting when the government is like, you shouldn't do that. That's not good for people.
Because what's the government for? To intervene?
It's to make it's to make roads, and then that's it. It's the end of it.
So... let's go infrastructure. Moving right along, the third and probably the most visible case that you're seeing.
And most recent, I think.
And most recent. Yeah. The this one came later in the day, today, Tuesday. Supreme Court has also ruled to uphold Trump's travel ban, aka the Muslim ban.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Congrats.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Chief Justice Roberts wrote that Trump has authority under the Immigration and Nationality Act to issue the September 2017 proclamation to suspend the entry of aliens into the United States. It's upsetting, as so many things are.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are out there saying that, well, like, Obama did the exact same ban with these same countries, because that's not true. But
people
it's worth saying.
That are people saying that today? I haven't seen
I'm
it
sure
today.
They are.
They said it the first time, like, and it was
wrong.
They
said it the
then.
First time. They say it every time. I'm sure that the Shapiros out there are all saying the things that, well, it's the exact same thing, except it's not, therefore don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Basically, it's so frustrating, any sort of degree of switch, like, we're like, oh, this is, Obama did something a little bit like this, and this thing that's happening is worse and true, therefore don't worry about either of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's maddening.
It's saying that people can't. Yeah, it is maddening. We've talked about that before on here, but
yeah.
I did see a lot of that today.
Yeah, yeah. It's everywhere. I even saw, like, I don't know if any our listeners are familiar with The Armored Skeptic. He's another classical liberal YouTube type of person who...
if they didn't, they're going to be so glad that you just told them.
Just like the same thing with when Trump was like tweeting, like, we are going to deport everybody without judges or courts.
We're getting to that.
Then
hey guys, no. We're transitioning from this into the next topic, and it's going to be fine. And we're going to circle back, and we're going to keep all of these balls in the air.
We'll circle back. Just that this when he said, you know, we're going to no courts and no judges. In the same tweet where he talks about how we need the rule of law and law and order and so on. Unbelievable. But the response is like, well, you know, Obama did this. Like, that's why, you know, like, you can detain people with no due process if they're suspected terrorists. And first of all, I'm not saying that's good. But second of all, this is saying that, like, if you're stopped for a misdemeanor...
Yeah, this is completely different.
It's a different situation, and it's also a more extreme situation. So when you say, but this thing is also true, when it's actually a lesser version, you're saying you don't care about either.
Yeah.
So, like, are you really? Like, you're gonna negate this current thing by saying something else happened earlier, and so you don't care about either of them, and we should just, like, forget about it. It's a very weird reaction.
It's very weird indeed.
Both can be bad.
Speaking of Trump comparisons, apparently, privately, the president has talked about, well, one, that he should not have signed the executive order that undid the family separations. Mm-hmm. He's been saying that. But he also doesn't understand why he can't just issue an executive order to fix immigration. And
what does he mean by that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that's a direct quote, but, like, that's the gist of it. Why can't he just do an executive order of his own immigration plan? This from the man that...
Because of the law. Because of how the government works.
How many times... of him and other conservatives criticized the amount of executive orders that Obama would issue.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, like, just the very, and it's again one of these other, like, just sort of ignoring everything whenever anybody's like, you know, Donald Trump, he has some authoritarian tendencies. Like, well, no, he's democratically elected. Well, first of all, like, fewer people voted for him, but also, like, just listen to him talk. He's saying out loud, why can't I just fix immigration with an executive order? He wants to forego the process of law. Well, he wants to ignore the branches of government and say, why can't I just say the thing that I want to do?
Yeah.
That is what we're talking about. That's the authoritarianism that you're worried about.
Anyway, back to the Muslim ban that I promised we would circle back to. Obviously, the liberals on the SCOTUS criticized this. Justice Sonia Sotomayor compared it to the, I'm not going to pronounce this right, Korematsu versus United States. Are you familiar?
No, it was the internment camps, right?
Yeah, from, in 1944. Yeah, it was the decision that upheld the internment camps. And she compared this to that decision. Obviously, not in terms of like what's actually happening.
Sure, we have a different situation with camps.
It's different, but in terms of the underlying justification for it. And then, obviously, the conservative side of the court went the opposite direction. They also used this. This is like maybe the one good thing, although it's very late. They used this ruling as an official overturning of that, even though it had obviously stopped long ago, but the Supreme Court never like officially said anything about it, and so they have now officially said that that was a mistake. So that's good, but they're also still using it in a different way.
Right. Yeah, that's frustrating. I guess congratulations, Mr. President, on finally getting this through.
Yeah.
I like that at least people are still referring to it as a Muslim ban. Obviously people on the right are very, very adamant about calling it a travel ban. But you can't erase history or the fact that for a long time, the president literally called for a Muslim ban and called it a Muslim ban and then realized, oh, I can't call it that anymore, so stopped. You can't ignore that he originally called it that.
And they don't either. The Supreme Court, the justification talking around that point of it is so like convoluted.
It has to be.
It has to be. It's like, well, the president's personal statements, blah, 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 but then also understanding presidential authority and about presidential power. So really, this is very much, this has bolstered him and it's underscored his ability to proclaim things like goddamn king.
Yeah.
Like a goddamn tyrant.
Like a real president.
Like a real president.
Like a real good president kind of guy.
Everything's fine.
Like a real CEO of a family business.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we back...
when we back. Today's episode of Even More News is brought to you by the same fine people who always bring you even more news, which is to say the fine patrons that have signed up for our Patreon, which you can find on the patreon.com/CodyJohnston. Probably change it to the name
we
of the
probably
show.
Probably should. That's exactly what I was thinking.
But that's where it is right now. And if you want to support the show, that'd be great. If you don't, that's okay too. We still love you.
You're still here.
You're still here. You're still loved.
We appreciate it.
We're still all a big family.
We appreciate them more, but you know, you're good too.
Hopefully soon we'll be ramping up production of more of our videos and more content for everybody as more people support us on patreon.com/CodyJohnston. Download no apps. You can download the Patreon app. They got a good one.
It's free, except for your support if you pledge dollars.
It's free for your support. We have one tier right now. We'll have more tiers in the future.
Oh, yeah, we'll have more tiers in the future, but we're not announcing that
We're not announcing that just yet.
End of ad.
Ooh.
And we're back.
Are we back?
We're back now.
We left.
It feels like we didn't leave.
Yeah, it feels like maybe we just sort of paused.
It seems like we just sort of paused.
And then continued.
And that the breaks are just a good way for us to you know, break up the segments.
I guess so.
Anyway, let's talk about civility finally.
Oh, good. I feel like we've, been hinting at that and doubling back.
We've been flirting with it, you know, coyly tossing our hair over our shoulder.
Yeah, so I guess I'll do like a quick recap
of
what has led us to this point. So obviously in recent days and weeks, there have been many reports about the separation of children from families trying to seek asylum in America from gang violence, domestic abuse, things like that. Although those things are no longer count for asylum, thanks to Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. But so a lot of people seem to be very angry about this, literally like tearing children from their parents. In some cases, reunification may be impossible. Some people don't even know where they were taken. There's audio of just children crying because of this. There's audio of people telling these children not to talk to the press.
Did you see there's this footage smuggled out by an employee that quit a center in New York, and she did video, and it's really bad, you know, interviewing children and other audio recordings of them saying not to talk to reporters.
I heard the audio. Yeah. I didn't see the video.
It's all awful.
Yeah. And
Michael Avenatti is representing a lot of them. Whatever. Please continue.
Yeah, but anyway, all right. But yeah, so this has been going on. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you probably know about it by now. Building tent cities and camps for these kids to stay in, possibly just indefinitely detaining these people, you know, without due process, as we mentioned. And that
Has upset people.
They're even, you know, a lot of the photos, some of the photos that they release, the administration has released, is like, no, it's fine. It's like a summer camp, as Laura Ingraham might say.
Or these facilities are better than a lot of the projects.
Yeah, they're better than, like, my, it was that one Fox News host was like, I've talked to some of my African-American friends, and they said, gosh, these are fine.
I heard somebody said, maybe it was on like a Love It or Leave It or something, it was like, what black person have you ever met that says gosh?
Every single black person who heard that was like, we don't say gosh.
We don't say gosh.
This is a lie. But also like some of the photos, there's a photo, someone was like, no, they it's like fine. There's tents. And there's even a place where you can report sexual assault. It's a little booth in a common area that people can see you go into to report this, which doesn't seem like a safe place to report that.
For the children to report sexual assault?
Yeah.
Because with children, children are so good at saying, I'm going to go tell on the adult.
And especially when the place to go to do that is visible by everybody. But also there's one photo, they're like, oh no, they call their parents. And it is a child holding a phone to his ear, and you can clearly see that the phone is not on and there's nobody on the other line.
Most of these kids, so they've been, you know, they were given a paper with their parents' name on it, and their children, you know, they lose the paper. Yeah. A lot of these kids are too young to know their parents' names.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mom,
yeah,
dad. It's all very bad. Anyway, people are upset.
They're upset, telling kids not to hug each other. It's all very
There's
bad.
There's more.
And obviously we can go into how like a lot of policies from previous administrations have led us to this point, but obviously Donald Trump has ramped it up and made it worse because he is a bad person, worse than most people. So in response, people are very upset and calling for direct action. In one case, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked very politely to leave a restaurant. This wasn't necessarily in response to the child camp thing. It was a lot because the staff was sort of uncomfortable serving her because some were gay. And they just didn't feel comfortable supporting or interacting with this person who's professionally lying to everybody every single day of her life. So the owner of the restaurant asked her staff, what do you want me to do? And they said, we think you should tell her to leave. So she's like, okay, I'm going to do this. That's actually a very good way to go about this. She literally asked her staff what she should do, took their advice, and she politely went up to Sarah and asked her to leave. She was able to order. She didn't have to pay, and she left. And things like this are happening, and people are appalled.
People are appalled. We should say, prior to this, Stephen Miller and Kirsten Nielsen were heckled
the
out
more
of
extreme,
Mexican restaurants. I pause it. What are you doing in a Mexican food restaurant the week of this?
Now's not the time.
You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly what you're doing. Maybe, I mean, especially Stephen Miller.
No, they do. That's
it's gross.
Yeah.
It's actually deeply offensive.
It's disgusting that they, there's so many examples of this administration literally just trolling people. And whether or not you agree with the president's policies or you want him to do this or that, it's really gross that the leader of the country is actively trying to piss off half of the country.
Yeah.
That is what they're doing.
And more than half of the country.
More than half of the country, yeah. But like that's the civility that has emerged from the Republican Party over not just this year, not just the last year, but over the past many years. It's been building towards this.
Yeah.
The Melania jacket.
Oh, God.
Saying, I don't care to you, and these two people going to Mexican restaurants in public during this week is very obviously on purpose and is gross.
I mean, they forfeited the right to the civility card. I mean, honestly, before Trump was even here, birther claimed all of that.
Oh, yeah, it's disgusting, and it's so hypocritical, and even like people like Newt Gingrich, like, we need to be more civil. That person has been... disgusting things over the years. Bill O'Reilly is calling for civility. Give me a fucking break, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, no.
All of these people, even like the Ben Shapiros of the world are saying, like, these Nazi comparisons are too much. You compare Nazis to everybody. You called Obama a Holocaust incentivizer. When people bring up the concept of gun regulation, you call them Nazis.
Yeah.
As if that's the thing that Nazis are famous for.
Yeah.
It's very, just very obviously full of shit. People struggling to...
There have been a lot of good pieces written about it. I think one was at the New York Times. But people are exercising the only form of power that they have left. Us being upset doesn't make a difference. Most of the country not supporting something doesn't make a difference. Human rights don't make a difference. Law and order doesn't make...
barely made a difference.
It does. Nothing seems to make a difference. And so what tool do we have at our disposal other than like what's immediately actionable? Standing up to the bullies that we see. Mm-hmm. Saying no... I can't serve you food. You're making everybody uncomfortable. Or saying no to that person in your life that, I mean, this is debatable. I don't know. But like there's certain lines that I think that have been crossed mm-hmm. and not tolerating it anymore.
And like, I mean, even just like, you need to, yeah, like, you know, don't make these people's lives uncomfortable. There's video footage of the Tea Party spitting on lawmakers as they go to the Capitol yeah. to work on giving people health care. Like in regards to Obamacare, people literally spitting on them. And is that you're saying that like the left is too uncivil,
right?
And it's coming out of nowhere. It's like all of a sudden everybody's so mad, so disingenuous, and erases very recent history.
Nazi senators or Congress, you know, confirmed.
Steve King said today something about the white race and like sub races.
But that's civil.
And yeah, and like the idea, this very vague idea of civility, as if. So yeah, there's an article today. I want to say the LA Times was like,
oh, I hated this. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like don't be uncivil. Don't make the Trump administration's lives miserable. Just vote them out. So don't do anything except every 2 years for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that's what the advice is to help this, as if like our country wasn't built on protest and this idea of like civil disobedience. And like there's a clip of I believe it was Mitch McConnell and his wife, or maybe it was his wife, and all the links from the places you'd expect, leftists surround the McConnell family in violent protest. Yelling is not violence. It might be uncivil. It's not violent. And I think that's where like a lot of this issue, I think, comes down to this, where people who are arguing against like any sense of being uncivil in public. No, if you're fucking putting kids in camps and you're lying about it in every possible way, fuck you. And I'm going to say your piece of shit to your face sometimes, maybe. Yeah. But like, that's not violence. And I think they view everything on one spectrum, where you have... On one end, there's civility, and then you get to lack of civility, and then you get to violence. And that's the spectrum that they view.
Yeah.
As opposed to, there are two spectrums. You can be civil in how you deal with people, and you can be uncivil with how you deal with people. Separately, there's peace and there's violence. Like, being uncivil doesn't necessarily lead to that. There's a interview with, like, Jordan Peterson, I think, where he talks about, like, men can't control crazy women because you can't be physical with them. And he talks about how, like, no, when you have a discussion, you know, you disagree with me, I disagree with you, we argue, and then we get to the pushing, and then it gets physical. And he literally says, like, that's the progression. That's why I have respect for men when I talk to them. So if you're all you people who are Peterson fans, free speech warrior who believes in nonviolence, he's not, and he doesn't. But this equating people protesting, civil servants, government officials, by yelling at them in public places and describing it as violent is exactly this tactic.
Sure.
That I'm not saying don't do it, because I think it actually works. Shaming people for these actions, it works.
I mean, shaming them is what made him issue the executive order ending it.
But. Right. People change their minds because of this. Even Kamala Harris is like, maybe we should abolish ICE after saying we shouldn't abolish ICE.
I was really excited to see that.
Yeah.
I was like, cool, that's good.
People can change their minds when people are upset enough about these things.
That's what makes change. A few more things to talk about with this. Circle back around. Yeah. Obviously, Trump loves this kind of of thing. And he responded to the Red Hen controversy with a tweet saying that the Red Hen restaurant should focus more on cleaning its filthy canopies, doors, and windows, badly needs a paint job, rather than refusing to serve a fine person like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I always had a rule, if a restaurant is dirty on the outside, it's dirty on the inside. You're right, Trump. You're right.
Yeah.
And just look at all the myriad of health violations that have happened at your properties.
That's, yeah, his restaurant's disgusting. Also, that particular restaurant he's describing had a glowing review the last time they were inspected.
He's just slandering a company online.
Yeah, he's a liar
online.
And he's trying to shit on this private business after his press secretary tweeted about it from her government Twitter handle. And yeah, it's gross. I mean, well, and before, I just don't want to forget, like, they will use this incivility from the left to justify actual violence. State violence. They will use it to justify cracking down on protests. They will use it to make new laws to ban certain kinds of protests, and it will lead to state violence against these protesters. So be ready for that.
Cody's got his head in his hands as he's saying that, if he sounds muffled.
That's true. I did have my head in my hands.
One more thing on the civility, because there's another twist in this story, and that's when Maxine Waters threw her hat in the ring and said,
"The low IQ Maxine Waters."
The low IQ Maxine Waters said, "Let's make sure we show up wherever we have to show up, and if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. You push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore anywhere. We've got to get children connected to their parents." I don't always like what Maxine Waters says. Mm-hmm. I like that she's brave and stands up and says her mind, and like, she's one of the strongest, you know, opposers.
Yeah, she's unafraid.
Yeah. So I like that. But this just further blew open the story and further continued to distract from the main thing, which is that immigrant children don't have their parents. I'm not saying her, but just this whole discourse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we almost completely stopped talking about the babies that are crying for their moms.
Yeah, everyone is playing into everybody's hands. It's very frustrating. We've talked about civility for a couple of days while
these camps are
actually being built and occupied.
Continuing to be built. And circling back to the immigration thing, you know, the GOP is trying to push through their immigration overhaul, and their solution for the family separation is just to detain families, and they're building these facilities and
indefinitely.
So anyway, that's scary. But yeah, civility.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure everybody's seen this around. Just whenever, so like she said this quote that Katie read verbatim. And it's already being framed. I've had conversations with strangers online because I hate myself. And in talking to them about this, they have already presented it as her saying that we should harass Trump supporters in general and government officials. And when they say this, they have put the word harass in quotes, implying that she literally said the word harass, and that is not true.
That's not what she said.
That's not what she said. They've also said that, oh, and she's encouraging them to push these people. No. Push back. It's like, that's not how language works.
She's not encouraging violence.
It is.
She's saying, say your piece.
Unbelievable how, because they want to, and that's the thing, and you see all these tweets like, the left wants war, we want peace, and then you have all of these responses from people like, yeah, I got my gun ready, I got my gun, I'm stocked up. There are people who are stocking up on guns.
I know, I've been
for this purpose.
I
like, they want it.
Tweet something, and I don't remember what it was, and I just seen a comment that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Both.
It struck you.
And then it stuck with me. But it's that vernacular of preparing for battle, mm-hmm. getting ready for the fight. A lot of people talking about, it's a good thing those liberals don't want guns.
Yeah, you know, literally talking about gun violence and actual civil war.
It's terrifying. And again, and I tweeted this at someone and then deleted it because I didn't want to get into an argument. But it's like, yeah, speaking up and us using our voices and controlling the things that we can control are our only ways to fight right now if we don't want a nonviolent revolution. Of course, and we want that. Like, if this was in a different time, we would probably be getting ready for a civil war.
Right.
And maybe I'm being dramatic, but
no,
I don't know.
We're not as, like, yeah, we have a violent culture. We're not as violent as as cultures were in the past. And like, just this sort of, I mean, even on InfoWars, there's a show called War Room Show, and they're like, do you think we should, do you think the left is deliberately trying to start a civil war? Your show is called War Room Show, you fucking hack. And like, that entire website is built on selling people these products for survival and like this bunker stuff and preparing people. Like, their whole shtick is preparing people for civil war. And it's not just them, it's everywhere. And when you hear someone say, push back, and then you phrase it, you rephrase it like push and harass, which she didn't even say, you're the ones doing it.
Yeah.
You're not, you're saying, oh, people are going to misinterpret her words and get violent. No, you're misinterpreting her words so you can get violent. That's what you're doing. And then the president responds to her, and obviously he calls her, you know, very low IQ, which
is
a cool
tweet here.
Oh, good. Read it.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, an extraordinarily low IQ person, has become, together with Nancy Pelosi, the face of the Democrat Party. She has just called for harm to supporters, of which there are many, of the Make America Great Again movement. Be careful what you wish for, Max.
So many things about this. Real quick.
So many things to unpack.
He's a dumb person. And when he says that she and Nancy Pelosi are the face of the Democratic Party, it shows his fundamentalist understanding of how people feel and what's going on in this country.
Sure.
Most people who are Democrats don't really support Nancy Pelosi that much in terms of her abilities to really do the things that we need from her and fight for the things.
A lot of people like Nancy Pelosi.
A lot of people like her. She's capable.
She's a tough woman, all those things.
She's capable in a different time.
Yes, I would agree with that.
But when
completely.
Completely. When Maxine Waters says this thing, and then immediately Nancy Pelosi comes forward and says, that is not right, it's un-American,
right,
you shouldn't be doing this or saying this, then that perhaps means that both of them aren't the faces of the Democratic Party, because they're completely opposed on this issue.
So in
that regards, you're fucking wrong.
And then also calling for harm to supporters, you liar.
Yeah.
That's not what she said. You know that's not what she said. You're trying to inflame your base.
Yeah, he's
now they all
that
feel that they're being called to directly attack.
The president said that, hey, my supporters, these lawmakers are threatening to harm you, and they better watch out, because when the coin flips, they're going to be harmed. That's what he's saying, and that's not
scary.
What she said. It is very scary, and this is, again, and like, I talk about this a lot, and probably going to write an episode about this next week. This is another thing, like, and I mentioned, like, they're going to use this to crack down on state violence on protesters. This fascist tactic of presenting case of this communist violence is everywhere, and like, we need to stop it. He is promoting people who cling to their guns to take matters into their own hands, and using violent language, not saying push back on them, and like it's just such an obvious leap that he has taken in order to achieve his goals. And we're only in like this half of year two, and it is alarming how close we are already getting to.
It's speeding up.
What we all kind of fearing. Yeah.
Yeah. It is really all, I don't want to be an alarmist, but it's alarming.
I mean, it is alarming. He said, and she's threatening all you people.
Yeah.
But she better watch out.
And it doesn't matter
it's
at
fucked
all.
Fucked up.
It doesn't matter. He can say anything he wants. I can't imagine that his base grows, but they certainly are unwavering.
I mean, they ebb and flow. Like, conservatives really support him still.
I know.
Which isn't surprising, but.
Well, because he's got.
Well, they're clinging on to their power. They're clinging on to their money.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of, like, I think that there are Republicans. And then there are his base.
Oh, yeah.
Those are different. And I'm saying, the people that, like, are really inflamed by him, and that who his show is for, those people, I don't think that they're growing, but they will never leave him.
No, they'll never leave him.
And he can do anything. He can say anything.
I think they might be growing to a point because of how in the media they're framing, like he's framing the violent left and all this stuff. But yeah, I mean, he's got his base, and they'll never go away. And those are the unwitting, sad, fascist people who are supporting him. And then you have the conservatives who are, you know, these sort of like elite conservatives clinging on to their power and their money because people are realizing that maybe capitalism is causing a lot of problems. But the only way to maintain that power and control is to turn to fascism, which they have very much done.
Whether they know it or not.
They have fully embraced it.
Else going on that we haven't gotten to, but...
Yeah, what's in the entertainment news?
Entertainment?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Westworld
I abandoned
had the finale.
It. Yeah,
but
I've heard it's confusing.
I watched the premiere of this season, and then I didn't have any interest in continuing to watch, and then suddenly the season's over.
I watched a few episodes. It's very confusing. Patrick Melrose is great. Killing Eve is great. Check those out. Also, enjoy your chocolate puddings.
Enjoy your chocolate puddings. Thank you so much for listening to this very important segment about Westworld that neither of us have watched.
Watch the first season.
And so we're going to end on a really happy note,
which was
real happy, good news kind of stuff.
I want you guys to know that we're okay.
Yeah.
Where even if this was a sad episode, we're okay. We love you. We hope you're okay.
Yeah. I just get frustrated.
We just get frustrated.
And also, like, you know, you spend a lot of time on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you try
you
to make
do.
Your, I do spend a lot of time, and I try to talk to people that I don't know to convince them of things, but it's very difficult because they are not there for that, and they are not having good faith conversations, nor are they responding.
So it's a waste of your time?
It is an actual waste of my time. It actually helps, I think, in understanding.
Sure.
Their counter arguments or like where their mind is. So like in talking to them, like, oh, this is sort of what your problem is, or like this is where the resistance happens. Mm-hmm. But I'm not changing any minds. But anyway, it's hard to necessarily communicate. So I like being able to rant into
it's
this
so
microphone
nice.
About it.
It's healthy. It's good for us. I hope you guys have a great day.
Yeah.
And enjoy your
Don't let
chocolate
this get you down.
Pudding.
Yeah.
Put it on some ice cream with ketchup and sprinkles.
Yeah. Go listen to a cartoon podcast.
Yeah. We love you very much.
Love you very much.